The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, President Mahama leads ECOWAS delegation to Burkina Faso over political impasse. 8 public sector unions call off strike with 1 week ultimatum over grievances. MMDCEs advocate police escort. DR Congo appeals to civilians not to form militias to fight Ugandan guerrillas. And Republican Party wins control of U.S. Senate in midterm elections. First, a summary with Doreen Ampofu.
ECOWAS Chair President Mahama will be leading a delegation of heads of state in the region to Burkina Faso today. The move has become necessary in the wake of the political impasse in that country. The 8 striking labor unions have called off their industrial action. They have, however, given government a 1 week ultimatum to address their grievances regarding the second tier pension fund. The labor unions say they decided to comply with the court order because they are law abiding. An appeal has been made to government to direct district police commanders to provide police protection to all MMDCEs. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Dean of the Municipal and District Chief Executives of the Volta region, Michael Ajaho, said the murder of the Nkwanta South DCE could have been avoided if he had police protection. Authorities in DR Congo have appealed to panic-stricken civilians not to form militias to protect themselves after massacres by Ugandan guerrillas. Defense Minister Luba Ntambo warned that self-defense groups would further complicate the already volatile situation. About 120 people have been killed in 5 weeks of nighttime rebel raids. And the Republican Party has won control of the U.S. Senate in midterm elections, increasing its power in the final years of Barack Obama's presidency. The party took Arkansas, Colorado, Iowa, Montana, North Carolina, South Dakota, and West Virginia. Republican Senate leader Mitch McConnell will lead the chamber.
Radio Ghana. Meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. President Mahama will be leading a delegation of ECOWAS heads of state to Burkina Faso today to try to find a solution to the political impasse in that country. The speaker, Eduardo Ajao, will, in the absence of the president, act as head of state in accordance with the constitution, as the vice president is also out of the country.
Filing of tax returns, among other things, have been made easier as the Ghana Revenue Authority, GRA, in collaboration with the Ghana Community Network Service Limited, has launched the eGov portal. The portal, which is an automation of key process in tax administration, will enable taxpayers to enjoy best of services from the comfort of their offices and homes. The Minister of Finance said Tekpe urged GRA not to only develop the system but ensure that they are utilized effectively. Airports are Mercy Daku and Patience Kwee.
The eGov portal is an electronic gateway for conducting business with the Domestic Tax Revenue Division of the Ghana Revenue Authority. It provides an interactive medium that enables taxpayers to undertake online business with the GRA. The services that the portal will offer include online taxpayer identification number, registration, and electronic medium for taxpayers to be served and receive their tax assessment to enable them file returns and make online payments. The Minister of Finance said Tekpe urged the Ghana Revenue Authority to strive to simplify tax payments so as to increase compliance.
Tax payments for most people seem to be a burden rather than a civic responsibility. It is in context that we must make things as easy as possible for them. For society to be developed, there is a need to mobilize resources primarily from taxation to finance the development programs and indeed social intervention programs in the country. By simplifying the process for tax payment, I also expect that the level of compliance for tax payment will improve significantly.
The Commissioner General of the Ghana Revenue Authority, George Blankson, noted that despite initial challenges, the authority has been able to launch the portal. He was optimistic that the eGov portal will enhance services to taxpayers.
Our journey was initiated in 2010 and has not been a very smooth one. We have, however, been able to surmount many challenges that affected the process to ensure that our cherry taxpayers enjoy the best of services to enable them to pay their taxes in comfort. I can assure you that with the introduction of the portal, you can sit in the comfort of your home and offices to access our services.
The executive chairman of GCNet, Note Omabo, called for more collaborative efforts between the ministry and the Ghana Revenue Authority in order to improve service delivery to advance Ghana's competitiveness in the sub-region.
Those are reports filed by Mercy Darko and Patience Kui.
The Ghana Book Publishers Association has bemoaned the rising cost of production. It says if government does not respond to the situation as quickly as possible, the printing industry will collapse, and this will worsen the current unemployment situation in the country. The association therefore calls on government and stakeholders to, as a matter of urgency, reduce the 41% tax on inputs for production to salvage the industry. This came to light at a dialogue among publishers in Accra. Rita Nyako reports.
The president of the Ghana Printers and Paper Converters Association, James Appiah, said the continuous free entry of books printed outside while local printers are made to pay high taxes is crippling the industry. This is because Ghana is signatory to an international convention which does not allow taxes on books that are brought into the country. Mr. Appiah said, as a result of the situation, people now print outside the country since they will not be taxed when they bring the printed materials back in. He noted that the same convention also says where there is a dislocation caused by such import, the government has the choice to reverse it so that local books could also enjoy either the same privileges or the field is made level for all participating parties. Mr. Appiah was worried about how high cost of production is running down profitability, depriving people of jobs since the industry no more employs people. He said over the last 6 years, the industry has laid off 2,000 workers.
When books are produced and printed in this country, the printer pays 41% in taxes on the inputs that he uses in producing the books. When books are printed outside this country, they enter our borders and our shores free of duties and taxes. Honorable Okudzeto Ablakwa did intimate that next year the government is going to waive all taxes on inputs for the production of government textbooks. But you will also realize that good though that may be, government textbooks are not the only books that are used, and publishers have their own books which may not be government textbooks but are books that go a long way to help the learning process. And because of this tax regime, even local publishers in their own book have to print them outside because they want to make profit.
President of the Ghana Books and Publishers Association, Dr. Safo Akwa, said in the Western countries, creative arts contribute immensely to the economy. He added that as a country, it is time we change the attitude towards the creative arts as it is very crucial to national development.
Rita Nyakon reporting.
The 12th Ghana International Book Fair has been opened in Accra with a focus on e-books. The president of the Ghana Book Publishers Association, Dr. Sonola Safo Akwa, said books have always proven to be the most effective and efficient tools of promoting literacy and education globally. He said it is imperative that Ghanaians embrace e-culture as it is taking over the entire world. Dr. Safo Akwa was speaking at the opening of the fair in Accra. Reporter Mary Achule and Richard Tiria. The Ghana International Book Fair is a major activity of the book publishing industry in the country. During this period, the activities of the industry are highlighted and shared with the local and international community, the government and its agencies, educational institutions, as well as the public. The president of the Ghana Book Publishers Association, Dr. Samuel Osafo Akwa, said the book industry is there to educate and inform society on social, economic, scientific and technological advancements which directly impact on the national development agenda. He said, despite of the Ebola scare which has had some impact on foreign participation, there is a sizable local representation and several innovative and educative programs.
Last year, the event was not held, but gave associations the opportunity to assess its impact to the benefit of the general public and other stakeholders. E-books a new tool for promoting literacy and global development will indeed meet the demands of our nation in terms of reading, and I recognize that indeed the slogan, a reading nation is a winning nation, will bear credence to this assertion.
In a message, the Minister of Education, Professor Jenana Opoku-Agyeman, said the new paradigm of development is rooted in access to information as well as sharing information and knowledge. He stated that development is not simply about economic growth, but the improvement of total quality of the entire population using knowledge and information literacy skills. Professor Opoku-Agyeman said the emergence of ICT has greatly affected and will continue to influence attitude to print information materials. She said though Ghana has a very high tele density and an estimated 65% literacy rate, the country is still lagging behind in terms of information literacy, which encompasses computer literacy. The minister says such competency skills should be harnessed for human and national development. A lecturer at the School of Performing Arts, University of Ghana, Professor Martin Oshri Owusu, expressed worry about how books are pirated and called for the enforcement of copyright law to protect the intellectual property of authors.
The pirates, specialists in low stress, low investment production. One day, after the listener's book, be it a novel, play, poetry, etc., 40 other counterfeit versions are on the market. Photocopy versions of complete books, including the cover, very poorly done, but who cares? The reader has probably looked everywhere without success. Try to obtain a copy. Finally, he chances upon one. Hey! Where did you get your copy from, Makora? You can even get it at Kegetia, and it is cheaper there than the original.
The fair would end on Saturday, the 8th of November. Mary Atule and Richard Taylor filed to that report.
The Forum for Public Sector Registered Pension Schemes, comprising 8 striking labor unions, has called off its industrial action. It has, however, given a week ultimatum to government to address its grievances regarding the second-tier pension fund. The Forum vowed to use all legitimate means to ensure that the unions and government find a solution to the dispute, to ensure that workers who retire in 2015 are assured of a better future. These were the outcome of a meeting held by the Forum in Accra in response to government court action after the strike declared by the Forum last week. The coordinator of the Forum, Reynolds Ofosu-Tenkrang, at a news briefing, said as law-abiding citizens, the Forum has decided to comply with the court order. Mercy Dakong and Rukia Tumusa have the details for Radio Ghana.
The Pension Act was passed in 2008. Deductions to the Tier 2 under the Act started in January 2010, and the first batch of beneficiaries are to access the fund by January 2015. The funds are currently lodged at the Bank of Ghana. This is to enable the National Pensions Regulatory Authority to register schemes that will manage the funds. Some labor unions have been locked in a protracted negotiation with government for the past 2 years, which culminated into the strike declared by the unions last week. According to the coordinator of the Forum for Public Sector Registered Pension Scheme, Reynaldo Fosu-Tenkwan, although the unions have called off the strike, they will use all appropriate means to ensure that they are not shortchanged.
At long last, the long-touted ex parte order from the court has been served on some of the members of the Forum. It's worthy of note that 2 unions were excluded from the ex parte motion and by implication have not been ordered back to work. Even as we speak, some of the unions named in the ex parte motion have still not been served. For us, it is not just a mistake, but a deliberate attempt to divide our front. But for the sake of the massive sympathy we have enjoyed during the struggle, we could have handled the situation in our own way. Some of our colleagues have received a court order, and consequently that, we are obliged to act. We want to state that we are poor workers fighting to protect our future when we are not strong enough to work. We have no army or state security apparatus behind us. We have no means to match government's might and resources. But we have our belief that what is happening is a sheer display of power by the government to overrun the good sentiments of workers. Let it be said and let it be heard that no matter the distortions, disinformation, propagandas and censors, we will use every legitimate means available to us to ensure that we are not shortchanged. Yes, we are law-abiding citizens and have decided to obey the court's order from today. But we want to re-emphasize that the suspension of this strike action does not mark the end of the struggle. We only pray that we all work in good faith to find amicable solution to this dispute so that our colleagues who retire in 2015 and beyond will be reassured of a better future. We further sound a note of caution that if by 1 week from today the dispute is not resolved, we shall resume the strike.
Mr. Fosu-Ting Kwan also described as unfortunate comments made by the Minister of Communications about the strike, especially in the health sector.
The Minister of Communications made a false representation that Ghanaians, including pregnant women and children, were suffering because they have been deprived of vital public services on account of the current strike. Our colleagues in the health sector, in a press release on 22nd October 2014, stated emphatically that the full range of their services and care shall be available for emergencies, pregnant women, children, and inpatients. They have since lived up to their joint statement and have continued to provide the range of services and care as stated. It's unfortunate for the Honorable Minister to say that our strike action remains unconscionable and unmeritorious.
Coordinator of the Forum for Public Sector Registered Pension Schemes, Reynolds Ofosu-Ten Krang, ending that report by Mercy Dakon and Rukiatu Musa.
Meanwhile, Labour consultant Austin Gama says the one-week ultimatum given to government by the labour unions to address their grievances regarding the second-tier pension contributions is wrong. According to him, this will only introduce fear and question into the negotiation process.
They know, and I know that it's not the best, because if you are going to the negotiation table, you don't hold anyone a hand behind him or her and ask that, let's talk. Then you are introducing fear and coercion, and that is not associated with Section 97 of the Labour Act. So I hope and pray that it's just part of the best thing, and having now overcome the difficulties for it being a court order, I think that they should all relax and work together with the Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations. I have confidence in both parties that they should be able to do it.
So should it have taken a court order to get the unions to go back to work?
Unfortunately, it shouldn't have been so, but it does appear that was what was available, especially because yielding to understanding both sides was becoming a problem, and the only way that was left open to the chief employer, government, was to go to the court to seek an ex parte motion. It's a bitter lesson to both sides and to all of us as citizens who are apathetic to drawing attention by this kind of thing, the proper way, and not the traditional politicking and all kinds of things.
That was Labour consultant Austin Game.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mahama leads ECOWAS delegation to Burkina Faso over political impasse. 8 public sector unions call off strike with 1 week ultimatum over grievances. MMDCEs advocate police escort. DR Congo appeals to civilians not to form militias to fight Ugandan guerrillas. And Republican Party wins control of U.S. Senate in midterm elections. Do stay tuned. Welcome back. The Dean of the Municipal and District Chief Executives of the Volta Region, Michael Ajaho, has appealed to government to direct district police commanders to give police protection to all MMDCEs. Speaking of Behind the News, Mr. Ajaho said the murder of the Nkwanta South DCE could have been avoided if he had police escort.
We are calling on the government to, you know, provide a security. Really, there are districts which have police security. The security we're talking of is the police security. The police security in the residence, that is in the evening. At times, can be day, it could be daytime too. But some of our colleagues, it is not happening like that. And the cause is from the district commanders. They need protection. They need to be secured, protected. That's it. So quickly, we are calling on the government quickly so that the district police commanders all over the country should do that as possible. Because that is what we are supposed to do. So those police personnel who really want to comply with those acts should be brought to book. Because if there was to be a police personnel there, this thing wouldn't have happened.
As the Dean of the Municipal and District Chief Executives of the Volta Region, Michael Ajaho.
Now, Volta Regional Minister Helen Ntosu has asked the people of Nkwanta South not to panic, but rather go about their normal duties without fear. She said the presence of the security is to ensure their safety. Speaking on the gruesome murder of the Nkwanta South DCE, Madam Ntosu said the police are investigating the issue and those found culpable will be punished.
The security situation is 24 hours. We have the military personnel and we have the police personnel also on the ground. And so far, 8 people have been arrested and, you know, to be interrogated. So the situation is good for now. And I know that with the good work that the police have done by the police personnel and the military by arresting those people, we know that something good will come out of it because we want the suspect to be apprehended. So after the investigation, then maybe the next line of action will be taken.
Are you thinking of reviewing the time of movement of DCEs in the region?
Yes, we met today and I have told them that we discussed it. But because at times you can't stop it traveling at night, but we have discussed that they should, for now, be mindful of traveling at night. So we want them to travel during the day when everybody can see, you know, left, right, and they brought them back, who is approaching them and all that. So, in short, we have advised them not to be traveling at night for now until probably we organize our security for them.
You had Volta Regional Minister Ellen Ntosu.
The Volta Regional Caucus in Parliament is demanding swift investigations into the murder of the DCE from Nkwanta South. The chairman of the caucus, Joseph Amenowode, warned that any delay in dealing with this matter could lead to tension and victimization of innocent people in the area. He said the existing political and ethnic tension in the area demand that the police act swiftly. Police have been interrogating 8 people arrested on suspicion of complicity in the murder of the DCE.
Speakers at an Ebola stakeholders forum in Accra have bemoaned the growing stigmatization of West African countries following the outbreak of the Ebola viral disease. This has aggravated efforts to contain the situation. The speakers believe a robust public health system with adequate public health infrastructure are needed to contain the disease. The national stakeholders meeting was to look at Ghana's Ebola preparedness and issues hampering Ebola containment. Yvonne Atilego reports.
Since the outbreak of Ebola late last year, some countries such as Zambia, Jamaica and Kenya banned flights from Ebola hit nations. This move has impacted the economies of the countries and brought them to a standstill. The stigmatization, if not checked, could slow response to the disease. The Minister of Health, Dr. Tajima Mensah, said Ghana's decision to be a logistic hub for Ebola is to deal with the growing stigmatization and help in the containment effort.
In an era when regional crisis can quickly become global, stopping Ebola is in the interest of the entire world. Ghana has taken upon itself to provide the necessary leadership in the sub-region to curb the epidemic by hosting the UN mission for emergency Ebola response unit. Many of you may be wondering why Ghana is the logistic hub for the sub-region. This is because we are living in an era of globalization when national borders matter less and our common humanity matters more.
Head of UN program in Ghana, Susanna Mondo Ingongi, warned that stigmatization of nations should be discouraged.
Yvonne Atilego filed that report.
The defense minister of DR Congo, Alexander Luba Ntambo, has appealed to panic-stricken civilians in the volatile east of the country not to form militias to protect themselves after a string of massacres by Ugandan guerrillas. Mr. Ntambo warned that self-defense groups could further complicate the already volatile situation around the town of Beni, where as many as 120 people have been killed in 5 weeks of night-time rebel raids. His call came as the Congolese army, backed by UN peacekeeping troops, fought rebels of the Allied Democratic Forces and the National Army for the Liberation of Uganda for a second day on the edge of the town. South Africa's prosecutors have sought permission to appeal against athlete Oscar Pistorius' sentence last month. Pistorius began serving a 5-year prison sentence for the culpable homicide of River Steenkamp, although he could be out in 10 months. The prosecutors say the sentence failed to consider the horrendous manner in which Ms. Steenkamp was killed. They are also appealing against Pistorius' murder acquittal. In South African law, this charge, also known in common law as murder, applies if the accused knew he might kill, but still went ahead with the course of action.
And the Republican Party has won control of the U.S. Senate in mid-term elections, increasing its power in the final years of Barack Obama's presidency. The party took Arkansas, Colorado, Iowa, Montana, North Carolina, South Dakota, and West Virginia. Republican state leader Mitch McConnell will lead the chamber. The party is also set to strengthen its majority in the lower house of representatives. We are back after this break. To end the news, the main point again. A high-power delegation headed by ECOWAS Chair President Mahama will be in Burkina Faso today to try to resolve the impasse. The eight striking labor unions have called off their industrial action. The unions have given government a week-long ultimatum to address their grievances regarding the second-tier pension fund. An appeal has been made to government to direct district police commanders to provide police protection to all MMDCEs. The appeal was made by the Dean of the Municipal and District Chief Executives in the Volta region, Michael Ajao, and the Republican Party has won control of the U.S. Senate in midterm elections. The party took Arkansas, Colorado, Iowa, Montana, North Carolina, South Dakota, and West Virginia. The news was presented